Okay. So we are looking at living the Spirit's life through prayers, part 7. Part 7. Our text is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. It's one of the shortest texts I've ever read. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. It says, never stop praying, New Living Translation. And then King James says, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying, pray without ceasing. Why do we need to pray without ceasing? Why do we need to pray always? Why? It's because the days in which we live is perilous. We live in a time the scripture called perilous. Perilous is something that comes from peril, something that causes harm, something that causes destruction. We live in perilous times. And except we pray, we will not get what we need to be able to overcome the thing happening in the present day and happening in the days to come. And it's because our Lord Jesus warned us that we need to watch and pray always. Always. He defined it. That's why he says pray without ceasing. So we need to pray always. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch you therefore and pray how many times? Always. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And all these things are real in these last days that he was talking about. And he said for us to escape them, it's a prayer that we pray always, always. You must note that word. It's a prayer you pray always, constantly. And I'm not talking about, please listen to me, I'm not talking about prayers about bread and butter. They're important. I'm not saying they're not important. It's a prayer about the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of God in your life, to advance the kingdom of God in your life, in where you belong, to expand the kingdom, and to be rooted in the things of the kingdom of God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about prayer, all-night prayer, where all you do is chase the devil 24 hours, what's wasting your time. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about prayer that focuses on the first thing that the Lord told us to seek. Seek you first what? I didn't hear you. Seek you first what? The kingdom of God. So that if I'm going to pray, then my prayer must reflect that. My prayer must reflect that. Things of the kingdom must be front for me. Must be the number one thing that is burning in my heart. It must be the number one thing that's in my desire. It shows up in my prayer. It's not about how many houses you have and all these things. Again, they're important. I'm not saying they're not important. But the scripture commands the Christian to put the kingdom first and not to focus on the things that will be added. These ones will be added. The Lord didn't tell us to seek them. He said they will be added to us. But what we are supposed to focus on is the things of the kingdom, is the spiritual things. That's why our prayer should really, really focus. And so the thing that will destabilize us in the kingdom, the thing that will make us not to be where we should be in the kingdom of God, not to play the role we should play, and not to enjoy the benefits that we have in the kingdom, they are the things we should watch out for. They are the things we should really, really watch out for. And so Jesus said, pray always. Because there are things that will try to destabilize you, things that will try to knock off your faith, things that will try to dampen your enthusiasm, things that will try to discourage you and to mock your faith. Say you should pray so that you always, because these things don't stop. It's a continuous confrontation. It's a continuous thing that we face. Fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us in all of these things. So we don't pray in the flesh, because the flesh will profit us nothing. So he said, watch you therefore and pray always. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of this. And remember, my brothers and sisters, that if a man gains the whole world, he can still lose what? His soul. And the question is, what does it profit him? All his prayers are about the whole world. Okay, he gains the whole world, but his soul is not established. His soul is not established, because the things about the soul, they are not important to him. They don't count. They don't come to his radar. So you find that, and in that kind of situation, all the person's interest is to use God to gain the things of this world. Instead of God using him, he wants to use God. And so that's why I'm saying that our focus of prayer should be the things of the kingdom of God. Very, very important. Because if you get it right in the kingdom, every other thing will be added. They'll be working for you in the measure that God wants them to work for you. There's nobody here that God wants to own all the buildings in New Jersey. There's the measure that God wants to bless you with those things. And he knows how much of the blessing you can handle. Because there's some blessing you get, you won't come to church again. Praise the Lord. You get $1 billion today, we may not see you anymore. So God says, I will not allow the temptation you cannot handle to come. Money can be temptation too. It can be temptation too. So praying about the things of the kingdom should be primary in our heart. Have it at the background of your mind, at the background of your heart, that if you gain the whole world in prayer and fasting, and your soul is not established, your faith is watery, and then you are really not there, you have fallen off your faith, it's all these things you own, they worth nothing. Because one day, you will leave this earth, and those things don't belong to you anymore. I've said it here, and I think it's worth saying. The house you own now, if you bought it, if you didn't build it, somebody owned it. If you go back, you can find five people who owned it at one time or the other. Even the one you own now, years to come, somebody else will own it. Doesn't that teach us something? Doesn't it teach us something? We came into this world with what? Nothing. We live with nothing. So all those things where we put our names and we have titles over it, and those are the things that make us not to see God and not to be in church, not to do anything. They don't belong to us. The only thing we take from here to heaven is Jesus. That's the only thing. So Jesus said, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Now let's take a look at the things he had in mind, he knew would happen in the last days in which we live. Look at 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers. Men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Is it happening now? Lovers of what again? Money. Is it happening now? I don't hear you. Is it happening now? Even in the church, people are arguing. They don't want to give God the seat on their money. They have thousands in the bank and they have all these things in the bank. And we're here sweating and asking that we need to give money to widows in Nigeria, Cameroon, and this thing, $100 to eat it during Christmas. During Christmas. Once a year. And people have in their bank $50,000, $59,000, $40,000. $100 is difficult. Pray and think of it. $100 for somebody who doesn't have to eat. To eat. And we're here making an announcement. We're trying to make it gentle. I say, no, forget it. The Bible says people will be lovers of money. Brother, let me tell us the truth. There are many people who come to church who are not interested in Jesus. They come to church as a form of formality. It's Sunday now. And then they come to church so that the devil won't kill them. Driven by fear. I'll tell you the truth. Even the things that is preached here in the Sunday school, they are not interested in it. They didn't come to hear it. And that's why they buy their children things to be playing during service. A parent can give the child that during service and you tell me the person is interested in God, during service, you spend your money back to keep them busy, you give it to them. Do you give it to them during classes in school? And say, when you go to school, be playing this, when your teacher is teaching, do you give it to them? You know, we can deceive everybody, but we can't deceive God. And the result about these things is that all these things we sow, we end up reaping them. We end up reaping them. And then we start praying like a house on fire when we lay the foundation of what that thing will be in future. We laid all of that foundation. So men will be lovers of money. They'll be boasters. You haven't had boasting until you live in 2020. Boasting. Politicians boast. Everybody's boasting. Everybody's boasting. Boasters, proud, blasphemous. The level of blasphemy in these days is something that anybody would have thought is not possible. But blasphemous, disobedient to parents. Is that happening now? Nobody's talking again. Is that happening now? Yeah, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, all manner of things are happening. Fun, unloving, that is unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, hate strong, haughty, lovers of what? Pleasure, rather than lovers of God. You do understand that because of pleasure, many people really don't care too much about God. Sunday morning, somebody is so lazing about. I mean, Sunday morning. Monday morning is going to work. Come rain, come sunshine. He will wake up. He must wake up because there is salary at stake. Sunday morning, he's sleeping lazily, rolling from one corner of the bed to the other. Lost pleasure. I'm telling you, they don't study Bible. They have no time for Bible, no time to pray. Pleasure. They lock movies. They put movies. Men, they watch movies. They know all the people in the movies, but they don't know anybody in the Bible. You know, American culture is pleasure-driven. They love pleasure a lot. They love entertainment. That's why entertainers are billionaires. They love it. They go crazy for entertainment, whether entertain in the field as a sports person, in the movie houses, all those things. It's a culture that is entertainment crazy, totally crazy. And then the church is falling into that trap now. And so it says all pleasure and then having a form of what? Godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Now let's read the next one, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. 1 Timothy 4 from verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly said that in later times, some will depart from what? From what? From the faith. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And there's preponderance now. Doctrines that do not focus on Christ Jesus. Doctrines that do not focus on Jesus. Doctrine that does not solidify your faith in Christ Jesus is not from the Holy Spirit. For no other foundation can any man lay except that which has been laid, which is what? Christ himself. Doctrines that do not focus us on Jesus is not of the Holy Spirit. Doctrines that focuses you on man and what man does is not from God. Because you can't put your faith in man. My brothers and sisters, you cannot produce grace for yourself. It's not possible. The Lord asked me one time, I said, can a man give himself grace? I said, no. He said, so you depend on my grace. I said, yeah. I said, what is my grace? My grace is what I do. My grace is not what you do. My grace is what I do. It's what I give you free. It's not what you do, that's my grace. It's what I do. If it's what you do, there is your grace. But a man cannot produce grace for himself. And we depend on the grace of God. So the doctrine that is from the Holy Spirit is the doctrine that solidifies your faith on Christ Jesus and what he did for you and what he's still doing for you today. That's where your faith should be. Paul says your faith should be on the power of God. Christ is the power of God. So we have all these 7 steps to this, 20 steps to that, and sometimes accompanied by miracles too. But you do know that not every miracle is of God. There are deceiving spirits that do miracles too. Now, the Spirit has really said that in the latter times, some people will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Continue. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, which means their conscience doesn't bother them. I don't know if you remember what we played up here. This pastor in Calabar that said he was on purpose deceiving his members and quoting scripture wrongly too. Didn't people hear him? Eh? He said, I knew what I was telling them was wrong. But as long as the money was rolling, I was teaching them 7 ways to prosper. And, you know, he said, deliverance, I was doing deliverance from street to street and all that. You heard him now. He said, I knew what I was telling them was wrong. But I kept on saying it. That's what the scripture is saying. Their conscience is seared. They don't have conscience. It doesn't bother them anymore what they do. And they don't care. And so because, and then Matthew 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, do you know that in this country where we live, there is freedom of speech until you talk about Jesus? There are companies, if you mention Jesus, they will fire you. But if you are gay, they will hire you. If you mention Jesus, they look at us as people who are foolish. They think that having faith in the unseen God is a sign that you've lost your mind. And it's not just America. I'm talking about the very countries that brought us the gospel in Africa. Britain, France, all of them. All they have is cathedrals that are now tourist attraction. That's what they have. And you must know, do you know that Greece, the symbol of Greece, is a goddess of sex stamped on their passport? The reason they removed it is that the ambassador in Saudi Arabia said, if you bring this thing to this Muslim country, they will tear it. That's their goddess. I want you to watch many symbols that Europeans use and ask yourself, what do they represent? Most of them is mermaid spirits. One of them, even in America, some of these things you drink, watch the symbol of those things and see mermaid spirit right there. All the ship that they commission, big ships and things, they build them, I'm telling you the truth, they go and put coins at the middle and call upon this goddess of the seas and everything before they build their big ships today. And Satan worship is open in America. In fact, they are now a religion. They pray in some house of assembly today. So what I'm telling you is that what Jesus said is happening. And it's happening right here. They will hate you. You cannot mention Jesus in America. In fact, you don't have to mention. I wore one hat one time that said Jesus here. I went to ShopRite. People were avoiding me. I purposely did that. They were avoiding me. They were looking at me from the corner of their eyes like, this man is unstable. He can do something stupid. They were avoiding me. But Jesus said that now, that they will hate you. They will hate you. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Verse, and then many will be what? Offended. He didn't say few. Now, my brothers and sisters, do you hear the word offended today? Everything they say, I'm offended. That's what Jesus said. Many will be what? Offended. You don't say, I'm offended. And then some people will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise, not few, and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, does it abound? It does abound. Lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold because we'll be in the minority. We'll be in the minority. It will be more difficult to be a Christian as the days go by. And the scripture warned us about that. They are going around and doing a poll to find out how many Americans go to church. And they are celebrating that less people go to church. And I'm telling them, I say, you don't have to do a poll. Read the Bible. He said it already. The scripture told us so now. I said, what poll are you doing? When Jesus himself told us so, that the love of many will what? So what poll are you doing? He told us that it will happen. And then what they're trying to do is to adjust churches and make it attractive to people. That's totally unbiblical. You don't make Jesus attractive to the devil. You either accept him or not accept him. If you like, rearrange your chairs. That is waste of time. If you like, make your chair sitting room where they drink coffee. You're wasting your time. Once it's Jesus, it's Jesus. You either accept Jesus the way the gospel presents him or you don't accept him. You can't make him appeal to the... What's the meeting point between light and darkness? You can't say, let's make Jesus to appeal to the world. Where do you get that kind of thought? When he told you that the world, they'll hate you. And Paul said, we preach this Christ in season out of season. All we have is the gospel church. Please, don't try to beautify it and make it better. You cannot. Present the gospel the way the Holy Spirit gave it to us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that shall be what? Whether they accept it or not, you have done your part. Rearranging chairs in churches is all this worst stuff. Has nothing to do with it. Do you know where Seymour? Seymour was an African preacher, had one eye. He was preaching in a barn, and his pulpit was curtain. But we had millions of people flying from all over the world to come there and hear him preach. I was a slave boy. Wasn't very educated. What was he preaching? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. 13, verse 13. But he who endures to the end. That's what Jesus is saying. Watch and pray. You need to endure this thing because it's going to put pressure on you. You have children in school. Do you know what their schools are turning to now? They're confusing these children. They don't know whether they are boys or girls again. I'm telling you. Well, somehow, thank God, I don't have little children, but I pray for, I have grandchildren. What our schools is turning to is unbelievable. What they are doing. And so you need to endure to the end. And Jesus said, pray always so that you'll be counted worthy to overcome these things. Because it's going to put incredible pressure on you financially, emotionally, and all of that. It's going to put incredible pressure on you. But as we pray, the Lord will sustain us. And so we need to pray to keep our faith on Christ today. Because people are going to adulterate the gospel. Like I said, false doctrines will come from the devil. People are going to adulterate the gospel and make it something that it is not and turn the church into entertainment. Brethren, do you know that many people have learned to live without Jesus? They plan everything. They don't pray about it. They don't care about it. It's planning. They bring professionals. Well, who did I hear? I think it was Andrew Womack. I've ever heard talking about how some people came to him and say, we'll raise millions for you. We'll raise millions. We'll raise millions for you. But what we do is that we use pictures of these African children and be doing adverts for you. And people will give money, and we take some portion and give you some portion. You can't believe people do this. They do that. They say, we use all these African children that are, you know, pictures and put them up on television, and then it's non-profit, and they say, we use them. Ministry, say, we'll help you raise money. They're doing it. They're doing it. And so we need to pray so that our faith in Christ will be strong. And my brothers and sisters, do not assume that you can handle this thing. That will be the first point of defeat, because you'll be trusting in yourself. And confidence in self is foolishness. The only person who can sustain you and me is the Lord himself. Can I hear amen? Only him. It's only those who trust in him that will not be put to shame. If you think I know what I'm doing, if you think I can handle this thing, you've already been defeated. I'm not kidding. Because without him, we can do nothing. We can do absolutely nothing. And 1 Corinthians 1:24. Tells us that we stand by faith. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy. We are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. Can we say that together? For by faith you stand. 2 Corinthians 1:24. It says, for 2 Corinthians now, 1:24, the last line, it says, for it is by your faith that you what? You stand. So you need to reinforce your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the prayer of thanksgiving comes in. The prayer of thanksgiving is very useful in this. And that's what we've been teaching and encouraging us to do. That in this prayer of thanksgiving, you want to thank God for the benefits of the kingdom that Jesus brought us into. Remember that he brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into his kingdom. And there is benefit in this kingdom that is ours. Let me tell you something. All that this is all about is about what Jesus made us to be and gave us in that kingdom. That's all. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. And if you meet in these things, he died to provide us. You want to live outside the kingdom. You got to live within the kingdom. And because it's in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. It's in him we have our blessings. So if you joke or don't attach importance to what he did and you think you are now a holy Jim Jim Christian, you're wasting your time. Actually, they already got you. They already got you because they're taking your confidence away from Christ and put it on how good you are and how holy you are and all that kind of junk. Your faith is shifted. Brethren, you know, the devil is so deceitful that he can take your faith away from Christ without your knowing. You can be full of zeal, but you're no more even trusting in Jesus. You think you're so good, so nice, and then you know, in your mind you have this record of all the wonderful things you are doing, and in your eyes it's okay. But those things are your righteousness, which God calls filthy rag. You don't want to go to God wearing filthy rag. That's why Paul said for Galatians that only crazy people can do what you're doing. That how can you forgo the righteousness of Christ, the robe God gave you? You took it away, and you want to take on your own rag of your own righteousness. So we need to solidify our faith, and the prayer of thanksgiving helps you every day. My brothers and sisters, listen to me. It will bless you. It will help you. It helps you every day to remind yourself what Christ did. Because for forgetful hearers deceive themselves. It's important that we do this. It's important, my brothers. It's an opportunity to remind yourself of those things that Jesus gave his life to make available to you, and those things he gave his life to make you to be that you couldn't get any other way. It's an opportunity to affirm them to be true. And as you said them, you release the words that the Spirit of God uses to frame your life. Because, and the words shall be in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth. It shall not depart from your mouth, morning and evening. So when you start, when you train yourself to start your prayers with prayer of thanksgiving, and then you are thanking God for those things that Jesus achieved for you on the cross, as you are verbalizing them, you are hearing them again. You are hearing them again. And as you verbalize them every time, unconsciously you are building it into your mind and you are keeping it in view. The Bible says, keep my word, what? In view. Let it dwell richly in you. So you not only are you thanking God that it's appropriate, but you are saying so. Words release these things. And the Spirit of God uses to frame your life along what you are saying, along what you are confessing, along what you are thanking God for. I pray most mornings, in my brain I have it. I go through everything Jesus did for me. I'll be thanking for forgiveness of sins. And it's not just that God said, okay, your sins are forgiven. No. It's that he paid the price for you. It's not just your sins are forgiven. No. No, it's not only that your sins are forgiven. It's that he took the penalty of sin that we committed on himself. The Bible said he laid on him all our iniquity and he became the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is huge, brethren. That is very huge, I'm telling you. Extremely huge. A Christian should be grateful to God for this every day of his life. Because without that forgiveness of sin, without that shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for you and me. And without that forgiveness, we are done. We're finished. And you go through that and you thank him again for, you know, that he gave you eternal life. He gave us a new life. That I'm not what I used to be. Lord, I'm not what I used to be. You changed me. I'm a new creature. You created me in Christ Jesus in true holiness and righteousness. I thank him every day. He said, do you look like that? Who cares? I'm just saying what he said. I'm just saying what he said. I'm releasing it. I'm saying, he said, let the redeemed say so. So I'm saying what he's told me to say. And I thank him I'm not under the curse. Jesus became a curse for me. And I thank him for every work I'm doing. It's prospering. It's this and this. And a lot of things. And then I thank him that by the stripes of Jesus I've been healed, and I don't have no pains whatsoever. I don't have glasses. I don't need no new teeth. I don't need anything. I confess it. Every time I pray in the morning, I go through that. Most afternoons, I go through that. Before I'm from there, other prayer topics show up for me because this will lead me and say, Lord, because I'm blessed, this is what I'm expecting. The blessings of God, it make it rich, and I expect this blessing to manifest here. For your word is yea and amen. Over my children, over my wife. I said, you gave me children. All my children are a blessing. And because they're a blessing, they will not bring me sorrow. And that leads me to say, Lord, I bless you, Lord. There will not be sorrow in this room. Because your word says so. And I don't care what they are doing, because I know the word of God is true. You know, you need to do that to reinforce these things every day, because the enemy is attacking our faith to mock it, to tell you that Jesus is not a healer. Where did he heal? See you. And you are sick. He wants to do that, to mock you. He wants to let you tell you that Jesus abandoned you. See, you are suffering like this. So we need to do that. We need to do that. We need to do that. We need to do that in that prayer of thanksgiving. And then we thank him now for the things he's doing around you. There are a lot of things God is doing in this country. There are a lot of good things God is doing in the world. There are things we can thank him for. The gospel is going all over the world. Can I hear amen? There are things of the kingdom you can thank God for. Look, they say count your blessings and name them. Wonderful. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. When you really on purpose want to thank God on purpose, you will see a lot of things he's done for you. Can I remind you one, that you are not in hospital this morning, this evening. It's enough to thank God for. Somebody was sharing with me that they came back with somebody. I think it's mommy. Okay. They came back with somebody from Nigeria. The next thing they had was it was in ICU. They all came back greeting each other. 2 days after, I was in ICU. And then you ask yourself, why is it not me? It's the lost message. I mean, you wake up in the morning. I go to hospitals a lot. But then I see pain. I go to hospitals, oh my God, a lot. I went to one, and my neighbor was saying, I went to use the restroom. He said, my neighbor said, I wish I can get up and walk like you. I wish I can use the restroom on my own. And I said, these are the things we have, and we take it for granted. And we're murmuring and complaining. Was it not one church we went, my wife and I? And the music was such a blessing. Man, I got, because I said to the Lord, I don't want to waste my Sunday here. I want to go to a place where you are, where the gospel is being preached. I don't have time in this life to waste on things that I don't have time to waste and invest in nonsense. I really want to spend my Sunday with you. We traveled. I don't know the city we went to. It's not Seattle. She has forgotten. Because that was the place she said I should take her to mall. And when we got there, I said, honey, I hope you have your wallet. He said, no, you have your wallet now. I said, look at this trouble. I said, we came here. You don't have your wallet. He said, why should I? He said, you have your wallet. He said, please, let us go. He said, let's go. I hope you have your wallet. I said, I have. When you went to the altar, what did you tell them? You told them what you have. He didn't say this. But I said, you told them what you have. Both of us own it. And here you're at the mall. You want to deny me. She didn't say this one. So that's what I said. So what? We went to church. This place was, I mean, the music was amazing, brethren. You just know that. And this church was the bush. We were going there until we saw bush. No building. My wife said, where are you taking me to? I said, anywhere. You are my wife. Follow me. The GPS. And we burst into this open place in the bush. Come and see people. We got in there. Look, my goose pimple. It's not goose pimple, that's my thing. But what I'm trying to say is I knew God was there. I said, Lord, thank you. You brought me to where I wanted. And then the worship. And when I went to take Holy Communion, do you know who was leading the worship? A lame girl. She couldn't walk. On wheelchair. Blessing the Lord with all her heart. I broke down there. I started crying. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I looked at her. I said, God, have mercy on me. She's so grateful. I'm not even half as grateful as she is. She was sitting on a beautiful young girl. Can you imagine that? Worship, and her voice was ringing with gratitude. Prayer of thanksgiving is very important. It will cure your selfishness and murmuring and grumbling and jealousy. Because God has done a lot for each one of us. Can I hear amen? So this is what the promises do for us. Look at 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4. And because of thee, his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. You see, these things that Jesus fulfilled for us is what makes us to share his divine nature. For instance, is it not Jesus that gave us the new life, his life, called eternal life? If we didn't have it, we have no divine nature in us. And so he makes us to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. 1 John 2:24. 1 John 2:24, quickly. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning, you will remain in what? Fellowship with the Son and with the Father. If you remain in what you've been taught, if you don't forget about Jesus and what he gave you, the gospel, that the man I told you on Sunday, that Jesus said, this is the man of my life which is given, so you have life. Then the same way we eat food to have life, the same way Jesus gave his life for us to have life, have eternal life. And he said, if you remain faithful in this thing you've been taught, then you have fellowship with who? The Son and with the Father. Have fellowship with them. Amen. Then we talked about prayer of faith and targeted prayer. Remember, just going through. Let me jump and talk about prayer of consecration before I come back and finish with that one. Prayer of consecration. Prayer of consecration. I never talked about this before. Prayer of consecration is prayer to consecrate yourself to God for noble use. And you know, prayer of consecration helps us to live the spirit life. It helps us to live the spirit life so much and not to be careless and to watch ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:21. 2 Timothy 2:21. So whoever cleanses, 2 Timothy 2:21, amplified, please, amplified. So whoever cleanses what? Himself from what is, number one, ignoble. What is ignoble? Something that's not noble. Ignoble and unclean. Who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to who? To the master, fit and ready for any good works. You see, when we do prayer of consecration, we are aiming to achieve this cleansing, this cleaning up ourselves. We're aiming to do that so that we become vessels that God will use. For instance, God may not assign you a targeted prayer in his kingdom if you are not clean. Because your mind will be muddled with a lot of things. With a lot of things. And so you can't have space for it. So he may not give you that kind of assignment. Because when we go to talk about targeted prayer, you will see that it is so useful in making the church live in the will of God. But God may not give you the body if your mind is so absorbed with things of this world and all you care about is things of this world. He will pass over you and find somebody who has time for him. Because he said, I'm looking for a man who will stand what? In the gap. I'm looking for somebody. Actually, Sunday, I think if God leads me, you know that God is recruiting people who will pray. If my people could call by my name shall... Why did he use the word humble and prayer? Because prayer is total dependence on God. If they shall humble themselves and say, God, except you do this, nobody can. He said, I will hear. But they have to clean themselves. They have to turn away from their wickedness. So the prayer of consecration helps us a lot. Jesus said, my Father heareth me always because I do those things that are pleasing to him always. So prayer of consecration helps us to clean ourselves and not to be careless. You know, if you are not watching yourself, you can have piles of something developing in your life until all of a sudden it comes out publicly. But it's been building up there. It's been building up there. So when we start praying prayer of consecration, we're aiming to have a tune-up, spiritual tune-up. Look at Proverbs 16:2. Proverbs 16:2, amplified. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. Is that true of us? They say it in Hebrew, which means everybody thinks my way is correct. But the Lord weighs the spirit, the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that's why you go to God in prayer. That's why this prayer becomes important, because all your ways are good, because you don't know more until God teaches you more. You can justify what you are doing. You can even use scripture to justify it until God teaches you, until God reveals it to you that this thing you are doing is not right. Look at Psalm 139:23. See what David was saying there. Search me, what? Thoroughly, O God. Why? All the ways of a man is right, but God is one that weighs it to say, hey, this one first scale, this one. So he said, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Then try me and know my thoughts and check it out. Prayer of consecration is very important, my brothers and sisters. We should do that regularly. Let's learn to humble ourselves and go to God and say, Lord, my ways are right in my eyes. I can justify what I'm doing, but you weigh my heart. You weigh these actions. You are the judge of all the flesh. I'm here for you to search me through and tell me what you think about me. How do you see me? What do I need to change? Is there anything I need to alter in my life? Am I walking out of love? Am I really trusting you? Have I started to walk in pride of trusting in myself? Am I shortchanging you? Lord, check me and tell me exactly how you see me. Does it make sense? Nobody said anything. You think it's good? Because when God really begins to help you clean up, you become a vessel of honor. Your life changes now. The spirit life we are talking about, you start living it now. But when we don't do this spiritual checkup, we can have sludge in our oil. Bitterness, what people did to you 5 years ago can still be there. And a lot of, maybe your mouth is even poison. But you don't know. You don't know. I'm telling you, you may not know. You may not know. I'm not kidding. When my wife said, one of my children said, the way you talk to your mom, I won't talk to my wife like that. The thing cured me. That was many years back. And I went to my wife. I said, is it true? He said, yeah. He said, when you talk, it pierces me. I said, it doesn't sound like that in my ears. You see, a man's ways, because when you talk, you don't hear yourself. But the person you are talking to, yes. What was my response? I really broke down and cried. I said, I didn't know it was like that. And God knew I didn't know. He knows I didn't. And then when I came here, Ugochukwu finished me. Finally finished me, cured me finally. Because I was talking to him, he said, Daddy, you are shouting. I said, I'm not sure. He said, you are shouting. He said, Dad, we are supposed to have conversation, not shouting. He said, I can hear you if you can tone down your voice. I said, this boy, I paid your ticket to this country. Now you are teaching me how to talk. He said, Dad, you are shouting. He said, it's called conversation. He said, when you talk, I hear. And then I talk, you hear. And then we exchange head there. He said, but your voice is high. It's bouncing. I can't. Hi, America. Hi. I forgot my cane. Because in Nigeria, I would have used the cane. But here, we are lying to be civil. He was right. You know, in Nigeria, we will not tolerate it. But here, it's civil. It's right. Brethren, let's learn to be corrected. It helps a lot. So I said, okay, I'm sorry. I said, you know, I came from Africa. Now, that's the way I've been talking over years. Some of you are like that too now. You know, God used that boy to correct me. He used that boy to teach me. And for which I'm grateful. Very, very grateful. Because he helps you to really now know how to communicate, even as a pastor, not to shout at people and insult them, but to respect people when you talk to them, to honor them because they're human beings like you. And be grateful that they're even serving Jesus, you know, and the capacity and how much they can, you know. So that's what I'm saying, that we should go to God and say, like, if you go to who told me, shouldn't, and God used the boy to correct. So when you pray that kind of prayer, God will send you corrections, but don't be angry because they will come. Nobody is talking. Those corrections will come. It will come through any source. It can come. I mean, if it comes, don't be angry. I say, if you come, then you're not ready yet. But if you are ready, God will turn you into a vessel of honor. Your words will be very powerful. Very, very powerful. Your prayers will be very powerful. Because you become a vessel he uses for honorable use, for things special. He begins to tell you what. But man, let me tell you, he begins to show you his plan because your mind is clear. I told the youth, I said, the reason you people are confused about who to marry is that you have so many girlfriends. I said, your mind is clogged with Agnes and the bank, or you don't know what they're doing. So when I saw my wife, I knew she was my wife because I didn't have anybody in mind. Nobody. I had no lover, nothing. Nobody. So immediately I saw her, I knew that's what I was. Nobody, nothing was competing. My heart was playing, nothing. Nothing. So God was able to communicate to me. Supposing I had Agnes and I had Mary and I was chasing Mbankwo chasing Mboli. How can I know it, sir? When all those the devil will not come and choke me with all the confusion. You see, that's what that thing does. When God begins to clean you out from inside, then you are ready to receive from the Lord the things you need to hear from him. Even concerning your life, concerning your family, you begin to hear from him, brethren. You position yourself and say, I'm ready. And God says, yeah, now you are ready to be a vessel of honor. And then he will begin to tell you what to pray about. Now, there's this young man that shared how God has put in his heart a burden to pray for his church and pray that for revival. And he kept on praying. See, he kept on praying, And he didn't see it. And then finally, he said the day it happened was they were having young adults meeting and they were going to share the grace. And all of a sudden, God's glory hit that place. Everybody ran to the altar crying and giving their life to Christ. And the Lord said, what you sought has happened. And it's happening. He said, from that point on, I saw Jesus demonstrate his presence all the time. And people started trooping into the kingdom. Because there was this heart that was open for God to say, I want to do this. Nobody's praying for it. Will you pray for it? Will you pray for it? And the young man said, yeah. And started. That's God giving you a burden for a nation, for a people, for a church, for your ministry. You can be head of ministry. You have no burden for that ministry. To pray for that ministry. You have no burden at all. It doesn't wake you up. God can wake you up and say, pray for this. Because your mind is clogged up with worldly things. You can't hear him. He can't wake you up because you're planning about worldly things. Those things limit us. It limits our effectiveness in the kingdom. Really, really limits our effectiveness. I asked somebody, I said, how come a whole church will be praying? God will come and tap somebody. I said, don't join them. He will let the rest be praying. You know, we should really pray a prayer of consecration. It's very important. Sometimes we have pride. We don't know. We have pride. We don't know. God told me, say, you're a proud man. I didn't know until he told me. If he didn't tell me, I will argue from, and that's part of pride, man. Argue. Proud people argue. They never lose argument. How can I lose? You must be the one to lose. So, shigala, we stay. I was doing that. I didn't know it was an expression of pride. Until the Lord told me, he said, you're a very proud man. He said, and I'll break everything you trust until you learn to rely on me. He said, all the word he used, all the props. He said, I'm breaking all your props. You have to rely on me. And you're going to cry because you're proud. And I went to my wife. I said, the Lord said, I'm proud. He said, yeah, you are. I wanted her to comfort me. She wasn't my case. So she said, I've been praying for you. You see, God put it in her heart. But then next Thursday, we'll talk about targeted prayer more. That God will put in your heart and tell you what to pray for your child. I'm not kidding. And you hit the target, pam, coming from his heart. And you're partnering with God in doing that. He will tell you what to pray for your husband, what to pray for your family, what to pray for your church, what he wants to do. He will put it in your heart. And if you put it, you can't sleep. You can't stay. Brethren, this thing has been born in my spirit for a long time. It's been in my spirit. If you listen to me, I'm talking about prayer all the time. Something is keeping. I wake up 2:30. I wake up 3. Bear, I can't sleep. I'm praying about this in my car everywhere. Everywhere. And it will happen here. I can't sleep. It's like, man, it's like a burden in my heart. Come to my office, I'm talking. I can't stay. God will put these burdens in your heart. About America, for instance. And tell you what he's doing. He will tell you what he's doing and tell you to pray. Because God needs somebody to pray for him to do those things. There are prayers you pray for yourself that you pray prayer of faith for yourself where God has promised you pray that it's only your faith involved for yourself. Those ones you can pray and believe immediately. But the things that involve other people, you can't pray and believe immediately. That's why the Bible says pray without a season. Study the Bible. Let's read one before we go. Romans 15:30. motivated by love. Let's read it, Romans 15, 30. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggles. To join in my what? Struggles. This is a New Living Translation. To join in my struggles by praying to God for me. Why should I join Paul? Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you burden for something and give you love to do it. He said, God gave you love for me and put this thing in your heart. You got to do it. But if your mind is clogged up with worldly things, God will find you. He will pass over you and look for somebody else. Do you know the story of the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan? You know the man that was knocked down? What did the Good Samaritan do? He carried him and took him to where? Eh? You know that prayer is talking about? That what Jesus is teaching is about intercessory prayer. I didn't know that until the Lord told me. And he told me this a few days ago. He said, what is that in? He said, it's bringing your brother to me. I'm the healer in prayer. Carry him to me. I'm the healer. He said, in the church, there are people broken. People pass them by. Because our mind is clogged with this. God can't show you. Broken in pain, and they need this, they need this, they need this. They are broken. And all we do is gossip about them, talk about them, laugh at them, criticize them, find fault with them. Why did the scripture say to do that? What he said, carry him to the inn, bring him to God, who is the healer. I will heal his life. Is anybody following me? That's what happens. People come to church, you know them, you don't see them, you don't bother. They are broken. They have been beaten by the enemy. Kick them down. And you're not carrying them to the inn by prayer so that the healer will restore them and bring them back serving Jesus. You know, my mentor went to church to preach. And there was this girl that was there the last time he was there. And then when he came, he didn't see the girl again. So he asked them, they said, Basilini, love this word. It's such an evil girl. And God said, this church is to be blamed. Nobody prayed for her. All they do is find fault and pile on her, make her ashamed, drive her away. I hold them responsible. We'll continue on Thursday. I want you to bow your heads to pray.